Welcome to another episode of the Action Factory podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dawson. And at the Action Factory, we provide dedicated online training to residential youth work teams. I believe it's the greatest job in the world and probably one of the most important jobs in the world. I developed a course for teams called the Solutions Toolkit. It's a universal framework for residential youth workers. There's a free version on the website, so please feel free to go get that and have a peek with the rest of your team. And now at the time of recording this, the full course is tantalizingly close to being launched, but there's lots of free stuff and a free version of the course at theactionfactory.com. So in the meantime, if you're new around here, we are in the midst of our audio course, NLP in Residential Youth Work. It's a weekly session that breaks down the basics of NLP and how it can be applied to your job as a residential youth worker. Now, if you know me, and many of you do, you'll have heard my phrase, I teach you nothing. It sounds a bit zen, but I don't. Instead, I offer ideas and strategies that you'll find useful if they're adapted into your work. After all, the expert in the room is you and not me. So today we're in session 5, which is entitled Setting Goals Amongst the Chaos Using NLP. However, there's an added caveat for us as residential youth workers. You see, we are often setting goals for other people, clients. And so this adds to the challenge and the motivation. This session wouldn't do you justice if we didn't consider this obstacle, and we will. I'm noticing a pattern developing in this series, as I have often found my own kind of hacks that relate back to the Solutions Toolkit course, blah, 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 free on the website, all that kind of thing. But let's first deal with the textbook goal setting method, which is familiar to a lot of us, particularly if we've done some management training or productivity training, as a lot of you have. It's known as the SMART or SMARTer system of goal setting. And it's something that's been around for years. I remember it years ago as a salesman being taught this. So let's work on the textbook ideas before we go on to hacking into your client's motivations. So in this session, we'll explore the art of kind of guiding teenagers and young people in setting clear, attainable goals. We'll reimagine the SMART criteria through the NLP lens, and we'll uncover powerful techniques to paint vibrant visions of success for our young people. As a bonus, I hope to include some pointers that enable us to motivate our young people to not only set goals, but actually own them. So, are you ready? Let's begin. Helping youth set clear, achievable goals. So you're a residential youth worker, you've got teenagers who want to achieve something significant. Perhaps it's acing the exam, overcoming a challenge, a personal issue, or just simply becoming a better version of themselves, simply accepted at school or whatever. And our role tends to be to guide them in setting those goals. And they've got to be crystal clear and within their grasp. Now, you may be a key worker or other individual whose role involves goal setting. NLP teaches us that well-formed goals, they're like little treasure maps. They provide a clear path, the motivation, and the direction. And by asking the right questions and using NLP techniques, you can help teenagers define their objectives with absolute precision. For instance, you can use the well-formed outcome technique to explore their goals in depth. You know, questions like, what do you want to achieve? Why is it important to you? How will you know when you've succeeded? And these open doors to the kind of clarity and motivation that's needed. Utilizing senses can also be useful. You know, what would significant others say? What will it feel like? What will it sound like? These things work very effectively for ourselves, and of course the same is true for young people. The SMART criteria is a kind of staple in goal setting, as I said earlier. And I remember this idea from many, many years ago in management training, and you probably do too. You know, you'd be asked to break goals down and break them into smaller goals. And sometimes some of it feels a little bit dated, if you're old like me. But let's reimagine it a little bit through the magic of our linguistic and neurological insights that are provided by NLP. So, SMART goals, what does this mean? And more importantly, what does it mean to you? Let's quickly run through. S is for specific. Encourage your young people to be specific in their goals. Instead of, I want to improve in school, they might say, I want to raise my grade by 2 points or improve my grade by 3%. Making any goal specific and real so you can either achieve it or you didn't. It's that simple. It becomes a yes or no answer. M is for measurable. Now, NLP urges us to make progress tangible. How will you measure your success? What are the concrete indicators of progress? Getting better is not a goal. We need to know how we can measure it, or we used to say in sales, can I put it in a wheelbarrow? Is it measurable? Numbers, length, distance. It's all relate to tangible, real things. A is for achievable. Ensure that the goals are realistic yet challenging. Help them break down larger goals into manageable steps, creating a path that feels they can get there. Research shows that our brains love a challenge but switch off when it gets too hard. And that's why computer games are designed to give you those little doses of dopamine as you achieve each little step in the goal. And my language app, the one I'm using at the minute, sets off little fireworks. You know, when I move forward or make progress or get an answer right. It even says things like, you know, let's make this a bit harder. It's playing with my mind to keep me moving and motivate. R is for relevant. Now, here, NLP shines in aligning goals with values. Okay, so dive into their motivation and value to make the goal truly relevant to their lives. Now, I'll talk about this further, but the goal has to be something that means something in the lives of the client. So let me ask you something. Do you have a key to your house in your pocket or handbag? Most of us do. I met a man who had also achieved that dream. Having been homeless and living on the streets, he had achieved his dream. He had a front door with a key. That, for him, was his achievement, his dream, his goal. And by the way, you can listen to that episode on this podcast by looking through some of the previous episodes. If I remember, I'll link it at the end for you to go direct to it. It's some interviews with homeless people I did while I was a presenter on FM radio. My point is that the goal is relevant to the client. T is for time bound. Goals need a deadline. When do you plan to achieve this? What's your time frame? When are we going to measure it? How are you doing? Weekly, monthly, yearly? If it's a long time, then there might be short-term goals that you can use kind of as stepping stones as you go along. So with this NLP SMART approach, you'll be guiding your youth or yourself to set goals that are not only smart, but tap into the neurology of success. So here's a question. If you ever achieved a goal, were you pushed towards it or did the goal pull you towards it? Now, if you were successful, it's probably because the goal pulled you. Once it was set in place, you could see the final result and how that would feel. You probably had a powerful visual and emotional attachment to that result. You could hear the praise from those around you, see those proud faces, feel the emotions. So whether consciously or unconsciously, you used visualization to imagine that successful outcome. You used all of your senses. You could hear those voices. You could smell the flowers and you could feel the emotion. I imagine the SMART system makes good sense to all of us who want to kind of lose a few pounds, write a book. But here's the thing. For residential youth workers, we're often creating or helping to create goals for others, namely our clients, our young people. Now, they're someone else's goal. So aside from our guidance in setting up the goals, our role has to be as a cheerleader. A potent tool in NLP is visualization. It's like a kind of rehearsal for success. It's a game changer in achieving goals or someone else creating goals that will follow through on. The great thing is that the visualization doesn't always have to be specific to the goal. So here's an exercise. Do this now I don't think anyone's going to know if you're on the bus or sat at home. So let's kind of prove the point. Think of a time in your life there was an explosion of joy. Okay? Close your eyes. Maybe your team scored the winner. Maybe you opened an amazing gift. Someone proposed to you. Close your eyes and relive that moment of elation, that explosion of joy. Keep your eyes closed and think about what you could hear at that moment and what and who you could see at that moment. Imagine their faces. Imagine what they did. And visualize this from behind your own eyes. Don't watch it from a distance. Be inside your own head. Make everything bigger, the colours brighter, the joy more explosive. And if you need to, do it a couple of times. Relive it. Now, if it was possible, I'd ask you to physically do what you did then. To clench your fists, to jump for joy, to do that in a room on your own with your eyes closed. If you followed that exercise, even if you just did it sitting down on a bus, I imagine that your heart rate has gone up and maybe your physiology has changed. There might even have been a smile on your face. We've got to encourage our teenagers to vividly imagine their success too. It's not just about seeing it. It's about feeling it. It's about hearing it. It's about smelling it. It's making it real because our mind does not care whether it's happening right now or not. So NLP invites you to tap into their sensory experience. And NLP teaches us that the mind does not distinguish between vividly imagined and real. In working with young people, we can be more subtle by simply asking those questions. You know, what will your friends say? How will that feel? What was it like when you did it before? Where would you do that? And this builds this confidence and motivation. Bring it up in conversation. Ask them again and again. Be the bull. Ask them to tell you their dream. Be constantly curious. You know, in our training course, we use a thing called EARS, which is elicit, i.e. bring it up in conversation, tell other people in front of them. A is to amplify, make the thing bigger, repeat, you know, tell more people. How will it happen? What happens? Colours? Da-da-da-da-da. And finally, just start again. That's EARS. So this process is a wonderful way of invoking visualization in our clients. So let's say the young person's decided they want to be a vet. You would elicit by bringing it up whenever possible. Maybe you're out with them and they stroke a dog belonging to a stranger. You tell the stranger, this is Lisa. She loves animals. She's going to be a vet someday. Probably one of the best vets. She's so dedicated. She loves animals. Repeat and do it again. Ask Lisa, there's a vet. Would that be like your vet? Is that like where you want to work? Would you have people work for you? What kind of animals? Are you going to be doing farm animals or pets? You become the biggest fan of the idea. And in order to achieve goals, then the young people need belief. And in order to have that, they need others to believe in them. Now, I don't know why, but I'm slightly embarrassed to mention my 8 laws of client interaction, which is in the Full Solutions Toolkit course. I'm sorry, but I don't want you here on a sales convention. But one of those is unashamedly stolen from NLP. And this is that everyone has the resources to make change. Everyone. We can be left in no doubt that whatever dreams they have, then the resources are already inside. So if we can make that assumption without the evidence to back it up, then we are the fans and cheerleaders for our young people. If you believe, then it's easier for them to believe. EARS, elicit, amplify, repeat, start again. Another hack is to use the existing program in the young person's mind to utilize their map of the world around them. I'm drifting a bit again, but bear with me. Humans work from patterns or programs of behavior, and we slot our personality inside these little placeholders. Let's imagine someone you know, like a close friend and a family member. They get cut off in traffic. They get a big bill that isn't theirs. They get insulted in public or receive bad service. Don't you think you've got an idea of how they'll react? because they do too. The incident will activate that little program in their mind and they are now on autopilot. These are what we call personality, the type of person they are. Sometimes they surprise us. Has that ever happened? Someone's reaction, totally unexpected. Could we use this for the client? Absolutely. So you have an aggressive or overpowering young person in your midst, perhaps a, you know, a gang member. Could you use the existing program to their benefit? Their program is about status and hierarchy. Maybe you could make them a leader by adding people to their gang in a positive way and making them responsible for others and the behaviours of others. So after hearing what I've just said, you probably think I'm crazy, but I'm probably going to give some away here that I'm working on at the moment that I'm really, really excited about bringing this to you, the power of influence into our work as residential youth workers. You don't have to think I'm crazy and you don't have to think and take my word for it. These strategies of influence have been used with gang members in New York with amazing success. People sharing a room who were recently sworn to kill each other. Now, doesn't that sound like a much tougher audience than your client group? So to go deeper would take us outside the scope of this session. So instead, let's summarize what we've learned today. From the world of NLP, we have SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and at times specific. These offered us some great rules for putting goals together at work. However, residential youth workers have that additional problem. These goals are not ours. They are the goals of our young people. We talked about the power of visualization because the mind does not know the difference between fantasy and reality. So instead of expecting our clients to sit in a room and imagine, we become the projector and we enthusiastically broadcast their dream. We ask for details. We talk about it often. We become the instigators of their vision. We also talked about using the pre-programmed software, or should we say their map of the world, to reframe their personality and use it in a positive way. It's a bold statement, but to do this with a hardcore drug users, gang members, it can be done. I have seen so many staff just like you do exactly this. One thing I've learned over the years is that people's goals and dreams aren't always grandiose. While I was in radio, I interviewed a number of homeless people and was humbled by their dreams, you know, to have the front door key in the hand, to buy teacup with the money they earned. And it's on this podcast. I'll place a link for you to go. I know I mentioned it earlier, but it's an incredible discussion. So remember, what seems straightforward and a given to you and me could mean the world to someone else. And the same rules apply. So there we go. I hope these ideas are worth consideration, and you may want to grab the PDF around here somewhere if you need a memory jogger or you want to maybe share these ideas with somebody else. Remember, I teach you nothing. I just offer these ideas. Next week, we'll go deeper, and in some ways, it's an add-on to this session because we're going to be talking about addressing and reframing limiting beliefs. Can you equip yourself with the tools to help your teenagers break free from self-imposed limitations? Did I say limitations? Okay, so one final favor before we go. I'll always be here, but clicking subscribe not only tells the internet and me that you like what I say, but it's a way of whispering across the world to other people who might benefit from this podcast, and in turn, their young people too. So I would appreciate that so much. 16,000 downloads and very, very few subscribers. I promised commutable chunks, so if you're listening on the bus, you might be coming to your stop. If so, then I can't wait to hear about those conversations you're going to have with the young people, because I know you'll develop those relationships by using these tools in a genuine and enthusiastic manner. In doing so, we can play our tiny part in them achieving what they want in life, which in turn does the same with us. And that's another reason why residential youth work is the greatest job in the world. My name's been Michael Dawson, and this is the Action Factory Podcast. Don't forget to grab your crib sheet or notes by clicking around here somewhere. I'll be back next Monday with another session in the series, NLP in residential youth work. Bye for now.